the America's Challenge gets underway on a somber note. California flight schools get to exhale for a while. And SMS is coming to an airport ramp near you. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, October 11th, 2010. 6 gas balloons launched from Albuquerque Saturday morning for the America's Challenge. The teams will compete to see who can fly the farthest from the start point. The launch was preceded by an emotional ceremony remembering Richard Abruzzo and Carol Reimer Davis, teammates who disappeared over the Adriatic Sea September 29th during the Gordon Bennett race. Wind forecasts suggest the balloons will drift almost due east across the U.S. Get more details in the print version of this story, dated October 10th, at aero-news.net. A California law which some decried as a mindless tax grab, and which was at the very least an extreme overreaction to the collapse of Silver State Helicopters, has been stalled. Assembly Bill 48 would have hit California flight training operations with regulations and fees designed for much larger colleges and vocational schools. There was no differentiation between one-man, part-time, Part 61 instructors doing flight reviews and bigger operations based at FBOs. AOPA later offered a legal opinion that individual flight instructors were exempt and suggested larger operations file a request for a waiver, which had the effect of delaying implementation. Annual fees and audit costs were projected at well into five figures for a typical Cessna Pilot Center, and could have driven most existing training out of state. The industry was not consulted before the law was passed. Now, Senate Bill 856 has been passed and is on its way to Governor Schwarzenegger's desk. It delays compliance with the law, retroactive to July 2010 and on to July of next year. If signed by the governor, it will allow time for the legislature to examine the appropriateness of putting flight training under the Bureau of Private Postsecondary Education. NATA Director of Regulatory Affairs Michael France said in a news release Friday, quote, "Without this type of opportunity, the impact could be disastrous for flight training and the aviation industry in general," unquote. The FAA Friday issued a SAFO, or safety alert for operators, following new research on the risks associated with transporting lithium batteries as cargo on aircraft. The timing was also influenced by findings that UPS Flight 006, which went down in the United Arab Emirates on September 3rd, was carrying a large quantity of lithium batteries. The alert restates the known ability of lithium batteries to catch fire if improperly handled, but it adds a warning that other fire events in a cargo hold can raise temperatures in the hold above the point at which lithium batteries enter thermal runaway. That means some other kind of fire could spread catastrophically. Specific recommendations include asking customers to identify bulk shipments of currently accepted lithium batteries, stowing bulk shipments of lithium batteries in Class C cargo compartments, or in locations where alternative fire suppression is available, and review of protocols and compliance with existing regulations. Nothing in the SAFO is directed at batteries inside electronic devices carried on board by crew or passengers. The FAA Thursday proposed new rules requiring safety management systems for ramp areas at any airport with a Part 139 certificate. That includes airports served by carriers using aircraft of more than 30 seats, regardless of whether that service is scheduled or not. These same airports may also serve smaller carriers. 553 current airports would be affected. The stated intent of the new regulation is to help airports enhance safety by developing an organization-wide safety policy. SMS would cover movement and non-movement areas, including runways, taxiways, ramps, aircraft parking aprons, and fuel farms. Airports will have the flexibility to implement an SMS plan that considers their unique operating environments. The possibility obviously exists for somewhat of a patchwork of expectations for transient GA pilots needing to access those fuel farms. The notice of proposed rulemaking is published in Thursday's Federal Register, opening a 90-day public comment period that ends January 5th. Up next, could outsourcing to China be a fading fad? American will fly direct from LAX to Shanghai. And Air Canada and the new United Continental plan a joint venture. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, The gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 11th. I'm Paul Platt. There are lots of anecdotes from old-timers warning that doing business with China is a prelude to headaches. The country will welcome your new industry and the jobs it brings, goes the tale, but for only as long as is needed to become your competitor. Recently, in announcing an expansion of Cessna's manufacturing capacity in Mexico, CEO Jack Pelton noted that labor costs in China now save only about 14% over Mexico, and that shipping costs, production issues, and the language barrier tend to negate any advantage. Cessna has experienced production issues in China firsthand with its Skycatcher. Now, Embraer finds itself having to spin reaction to a leak about the possibility of closing its plant in China. The Brazilian company partnered with a Chinese firm to open Harbin Embraer Aircraft Industry, where it intended to build aircraft for the blossoming Asian market. But the Associated Press reports an Embraer VP told Brazil's Estado news agency that China now considers Embraer a competitor as it prepares to introduce its domestic ARJ-21 and the C919 single-aisle medium-haul airliner. Embraer says on its website only that, quote, no decision has been made in this respect and that the company is negotiating with the government of China and the Chinese partner for the purpose of continuing the operations, unquote. The ARJ-21 is scheduled to enter service next year. American Airlines is ready to fly you direct to China. American was granted tentative antitrust immunity with Japanese partners and says the U.S. DOT has granted it the authority and frequencies needed to begin new service between Los Angeles and Shanghai. That's the largest market for travel between the U.S. and China not already served by a U.S. airline. American says it will begin new daily flights April 5, 2011, using Boeing 777s configured for 16 first class, 37 business class, and 194 economy class seats. American had lots to celebrate last week. It announced the launch of a new joint business with Oneworld partners British Airways and Iberia, new service from New York Kennedy to Budapest, a second Barcelona flight, plus new service from Chicago O'Hare to Helsinki, and a second flight between Miami and Madrid. Air Canada and United Continental Holdings, the parent of the now-merged United and Continental Airlines, report a memo of understanding setting out principles for a partnership on U.S.-Canada transborder flights. The airlines claim they can generate substantial service and pricing benefits. The airlines say that Air Canada's transborder network to 59 U.S. cities will be strengthened by United's presence at 210 U.S. airports. And, conversely, United's transborder network to 16 Canadian cities will be strengthened by Air Canada's network serving 59 communities across Canada. The joint venture is expected to come into effect in early 2011, pending regulatory approval. Both airlines are already members of the Star Alliance. Still ahead, runway incursions are down again, way down. AAI tests a heavy-fuel UAV. And here's a second income that won't work for just anyone. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, October 11th. I'm Paul Platt. Some of the government's safety initiatives could only be called frustrating, but U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood is beaming over stats that show runway incursions in the last year down 50% from 2009. The federal government's fiscal 2010 ended September 30th. LaHood commented, quote, "We continue to make terrific progress in the area of runway safety, and the credit should go to the entire aviation community. I look forward to additional improvements in the years ahead," unquote. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt added a prediction, quote, "The goal we are working towards is zero runway incursions. I'm confident that the right combination of education and technology will help get us there," unquote. His comments were made at Boston Logan International. The number of serious incursions fell to 6 for the year, down from 12 in 2009 and down from 67 in 2000. Babbitt announced that the runway status light system at Logan has successfully emerged from 90 days of tests. The lights give direct warnings to pilots of potential runway incursions. Runway status light systems are scheduled to be installed at 23 airports across the country beginning next year. AAI, a division of Textron, says it successfully demonstrated a small unmanned aircraft system running on heavy fuel at Fort Pickett in Virginia. The craft is made by Aerosonde, an Australian subsidiary of AAI. The Mark 4.7 is catapult-launched and can be deployed from the ground, from ships, and even from the roof of a land vehicle. The kerosene-based fuel offers some potentially significant advantages over gasoline. It's less hazardous to ship and store, and opens the way for a transition to a single, multi-purpose fuel for use in a wide variety of military vehicles. AAI says the larger heavy fuel engine used in the test also allows better climb rate, better dash speed, more mission endurance and altitude performance, and it can generate more electrical power for payload demands. Details of the performance during the test flight were not disclosed. And finally today, if you know the name Andy Anderson, it may be from his performances at air shows as one of the pilots in an act called Red Star and the Dragon. But he's also an author, and his novel, The Golden Countess, based on scuba diving, is about to become a motion picture. Director-producer Christopher Forbes of Forbes Films recounts, quote, "I devoured The Golden Countess in an afternoon. I found it a very enjoyable read. I think Andy did a great job with the Mike Edwards character, and I imagined that a big part of that character is autobiographical. We are looking forward to a great long-lasting relationship with Andy. This will be a great adventure movie, and it looks like it'll be a lot of fun to produce," unquote. Work has already started on adaptation to a screenplay. ANN cautions listeners. Most airshow performers have day jobs that cover their living costs. Planning on supporting your flying by becoming a novelist will not work for everyone. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about some of the most dangerous flying we do in the traffic pattern at our local airports. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.